devices, and does that now replace these factory-wide systems where it's so commonplace for people to listen to their own music while at work, at home, working at home or working in the office, with their earbuds in?
Right. And so this is something that when I was first thinking of this project, I saw that as the obvious endpoint, as this kind of retreat back to like a personal individual listening experience. But I've decided it's still a part of this continuum, if for no other reason than because it's at this point, most people are listening algorithmically, right? They're listening through these like
Hi, I'm Ronald Weaver from Santa Monica. You're listening to WGXC
Acra.
Questions about technology, cybersecurity, whether it's a remote car starter or jellyfish, try your luck at stumping our panel on the Thingularity radio program. Just send your questions to CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. That is CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. And one of our many interns will be electroshocked into inducing an answer for your listening pleasure. Listen to the Thingularity radio program every first Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM or anytime at WGXC.org.
Tune in to all sorts of live radio shows every Sunday on WGXC 90.7 FM, beginning at 8 a.m., where the Reverend Kim Singletary is live with There's a Bright Side Somewhere from Columbia County, every Sunday at 8 a.m. Then at 9 a.m., Janessa Hope McKay brings you a slap of reality live from the WGXC studio in Hudson in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. She's playing her top music pick and talking about her hot topics of the week until 11 a.m. At 1 p.m., every every Sunday, DJ Neva Wartell is live with music for the masses from Catskill, with sounds from around the world. At 4 p.m. every Sunday, Carlene Murphy and Azuka Legba are live with the Lile Latan version of the WGXC afternoon show until 6 p.m. And every Sunday night, Tony Fallon is live with the Irish show at 8 p.m. on the radio from Acre on 90.7 WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jack Sensabaugh of Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
A radio network, an empire upon an empire.
I make no promises.
You on the mark.
With one purpose only, to point out and make public the dishonesty. Now it's complete control.
Only one man who can rid the politics of this state of the evil domination.
Hello.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Luke Parsnow reports in New York State of Politics that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention now considers Columbia, Albany, and Rensselaer counties as having, and I quote, high, end quote, community levels of the coronavirus. The CDC now recommends citizens now wear masks inside in public. In all, New York has 36 counties as having high community levels of COVID-19. The rest of the Hudson Valley are considered at medium risk right now, with only three New York counties considered low risk. Albany County reported May 6th its highest COVID-19 hospitalization rate since mid-February. Albany County Executive Dan McCoy said, and I quote, "This is one of the most concerning updates I've provided in a long time. The daily average of new COVID infections continues to increase and has now trended above 200. The number of residents currently in the hospital with the virus is now the highest it's been since February 17th. And sadly, individuals continue to succumb to COVID complications." Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Ted Brimsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that the Greene County Legislature's Public Safety Committee approved $250,000 in funding for body and car cameras for Greene County sheriffs during its meeting May 4th. The full legislature is expected to vote on them. County Administrator Sean Groden said, and I quote, "It started 2 years ago when we had the Police Reform Committee. It was a recommendation that came out of the Police Reform Committee, and then during the next year's budget cycle, the board turned down the request to go to body cams. Now, Sheriff Pete Kaminsky has brought it back up because there's a general assumption that any accredited agency will pretty much be mandated to have them now. So that's pretty much being forced," end quote. Groden was pitching the cameras as police helpers. He said, and I quote, "I think more often than not, it exonerates an officer versus not, particularly with the car cameras, because we'll have one that actually shoots to the back seat. So if you try to bang your head against the back window and say, hey, I got beat up, it's going to be filmed," end quote. The story says, under the proposal, it will cost Greene County $29,940 for 60 body cameras, $106,650 for 27 police car camera kits, and $25,299 for installation in 38 police vehicles. Groden says Greene County will hire someone to edit and process the camera recordings. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Rebecca F. Ward reports in the Times Union that since Governor Andrew Cuomo resigned, the state has been moving at a similar pace to begin recreational cannabis sales. The New York legislature voted for legalizing cannabis, and Cuomo signed the measure a year ago. But then the Cuomo administration did little to build the state infrastructure to begin retail sales. Cuomo never appointed regulators to begin the process, which Governor Kathy Hochul did after she took office last August. Amani Dawson, an activist who pushed for legalization, said, and I quote, "They're taking time to be intentional. States that move really quickly tend to overlook things that they have to then go back and fix in hindsight, or they are dealing with unintended consequences," end quote. Arizona only took 3 months from legalization to sales, while Maine took 4 years. There, Governor Paul LePage opposed legalization. Heather Trella, a marijuana policy researcher at the SUNY Rockefeller Institute of Government, said, and I quote, "Governor LePage vetoed a lot of things because he didn't want it to happen. And then the pandemic hit, and that certainly delayed their initial plan," end quote. Officials have predicted that retail sales will begin in 2023 in New York. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend. And now here is your WGXC weather update. On Saturday, there will be a chance of rain. It will be cloudy with a temperature high near 53 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of showers mainly before 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 38 degrees. And on Sunday, Mother's Day, partly sunny with a high near 60 degrees. And Sunday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 40 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
All the German lights, this is it, the night of nights. No more rehearsing and nursing upon. We know every card by heart. All the German lights, this is it. We'll hit the heights, they know what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
This is Tom Rowe with Wave Farm with the WGXC Radio News daily update on what's going on in broadcast news. Aaron Mack reports for Slate about spam robocalls. Do you remember the National Do Not Call Registry beginning in 2003? Do you remember the last time you received an automated phone message? Do you remember the last time you read about some robocall scam targeting local seniors? The federal government has definitely not eliminated the scourge of robocalls. In March, there were 4.3 billion robocalls made in the United States, according to the spam-blocking company Umail. There has been a lot of online finger-pointing lately at Ajit Pai, the industry-friendly chair of the Federal Communications Commission during the Trump administration. Pai did not support a 2015 anti-robocalling rule from the Obama-era FCC that would have expanded the definition of an auto-dialer to include any device that had the capacity to make robocalls, even if they weren't modified to do so. The plan passed without Pai's support, but in 2018, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit struck it down, saying it was too broad. Pai did not appeal the decision, but celebrated, describing the 2015 rule as, quote, yet another example of the prior FCC's disregard for the law and regulatory overreach, unquote. But Margot Saunders, senior counsel at the National Consumer Law Center, argues the court decision did not lead to a record number of robocalls. At play, she said, quote, were very esoteric issues that had much more to do with the legality of non-scammers like debt collectors. Chairman Pai wasn't particularly aggressive, but you can't lay the problem at his door, unquote, said Saunders. Quote, there is no proceeding that he failed to appeal that would have made the difference in this, in my opinion, unquote. Saunders instead says phone calls now go through multiple providers instead of just one, which makes stopping phone scams more difficult. Mac ends the story asking Saunders if there is any one person who could be blamed for so many robocalls now, and she replied, quote, Alexander Graham Bell, unquote. And more about this story in Slate. In popular culture, the wireless untethered charger for a phone is like a hovercraft, something long promised but never delivered. Last week, though, WeCharge founder and chief business officer Ori Moore gave an interview to TechCrunch where he claimed that Belkin would release a specific, quote, center stage consumer product, unquote, to charge phones remotely later this year. But the next day, however, Belkin spokesperson Jen Wei said nothing is imminent. Quote, currently our agreement with WeCharge only commits us to research and development on some product concepts, so it's too early to comment on the timing of viable consumer products, unquote, Wei told Ars Technica. Quote, the Belkin method is to thoroughly investigate technology viability and perform deep user testing before committing to a product concept. Here at Belkin, we only launch products when we confirm technical feasibility backed by deep consumer insights, unquote. What we do know about that research and development is that WeCharge's technology has a small mounted transmitter plugged into an AC or DC outlet to, quote, convert electricity into safe infrared beams, unquote, the company's website says. The transmitter sends up to 1 watt of power to devices holding a WeCharge receiver within a 40-foot range and line of sight. The radio wave receivers then turn that light into power to charge phones and computer notebooks. Infrared waves are electromagnetic waves that have frequency range around 300 gigahertz and can only travel a short distance. A Belkin official makes clear this cable and pad-free wireless charging technology is coming soon, just not right away. Quote, we are excited to uncover the full potential of WeCharge's unparalleled over-the-air wireless charging technology, unquote, said Brian Van Harlingen, the CTO at Belkin. Quote, the future of charging has been transitioning from wired to wireless for years now, and we anticipate over-the-air wireless charging to accelerate this evolution, unquote. James Careless reports for Radio World that the British Broadcasting Corporation's World Service has turned 90 years old. It began as the BBC Empire Service in 1932, sending shortwave signals around the globe. Quote, created 10 years after the BBC itself was founded, the BBC World Service was there to send voices out of the air, which sounds like a poem by Keats, but are actually the words of King George V, unquote, said Stephen Titherington, senior head of content for the BBC World Service English. Quote, since the collapse of the Berlin Wall, it has had a different relevancy to people in terms of sharing what is happening within the world, with also a chance for people to add their voice to what needs to be heard, unquote. The BBC World Service provided alternative information to people in fascist countries in the 1930s and 1940s, then pivoted as a Cold War broadcaster, and now beams in signals to conflict zones in Ukraine, Yemen, Palestine, and Afghanistan. Lately, it has focused on local broadcasts and streaming media while cutting back on shortwave and ending shortwave service to North America. Quote, "One thing that has been consistent over the years is the BBC's commitment to independent news," unquote, said Dr. Kim Andrew Elliott, retired Voice of America audience research analyst, radio host, and now producer-presenter of Shortwave Radiogram, heard on shortwave stations WINB and WRMI. Voice of America, a similar radio service from the United States, always seemed more like propagandist than the BBC. Quote, "To be sure, the BBC European services had partisan commentaries during World War II, but the news remained factual mostly. Since World War II, BBC World Service has been the de facto standard for comprehensive and objective news," unquote, Elliott says. As of late 2021, the BBC broadcasts in 40 languages, including Amharic, Gujarati, Igbo, Korean, Marathi, Pidgin, Punjabi, Serbian, Telugu, Tigrinya, and Yoruba. In March, after Russia invaded Ukraine, the BBC World Service announced it is broadcasting, quote, 4 hours of English news daily on two shortwave frequencies, both of which can be received clearly in Kyiv and parts of Russia, unquote, said a BBC media release. The shortwave frequencies are 15735 kilohertz, operating from 1400 to 1600 UTC, and on 5875 kilohertz from 2000 to 2200 UTC. Quote, "The audience for the BBC's Russian language news website more than tripled its year-to-date weekly average, with a record reach of 10.7 million people in the last week compared to 3.1 million. In English, BBC.com visitors in Russia were up 252% to 423,000 last week," unquote, a BBC press release said when the war was 2 weeks old. Elliott agrees that the service is often most needed where it is least wanted by the local government. Quote, "We have seen in more and more countries censorship and blocking of the Internet. Shortwave can deliver information across national boundaries independent of the Internet. Satellite television also sidesteps the Internet, but satellite dishes are conspicuous. Shortwave reception is simpler, cheaper, and more discreet. And my shortwave radiogram project shows that text and images can be transmitted by old analog shortwave transmitters and received on any shortwave radio with decoding by an app on a PC or mobile device," unquote, Elliott says. Read more about this story at Radio World. So much about Motorola's $130 car radio in 1930 for a Model A deluxe coupe cost $540 and was the first commercially successful car radio, according to Car and Driver magazine. Inside Radio reports that many radio business officials continue to worry about the threat to the dominance of AM and FM signals in those vehicles. Quote, "What's driving a lot of these threats is the fact that you have 12 large global technology audio companies coming into the dash very aggressively to steal your listeners," unquote, said Joe D'Angelo, senior vice president of broadcast at Xperi, a company working with broadcasters to maintain radio's dashboard dominance. Apps such as Apple CarPlay and Android Auto on a dashboard screen look like what consumers see on their smartphones. There's also Android Automotive, an operating system which gives Google control, and of course any Bluetooth connection gets listeners any sound those phones can also receive. Currently, AM/FM radio continues to lead in-car listening with 56% of audio time there tuned in over the air, and increasingly through Bluetooth radio signals. Of course, 56% is a lot smaller than the old days when singing was radio's only competition in a car. Xperi is asking what information people in cars listening to the radio want on their dashboards. Emergency weather information, song information, game scores, and the name of the host all scored high. Xperi CEO Steve Newberry said, quote, "We are in the process of embracing the screenification of radio, helping the industry move from being an audio medium to being a medium that can compete with Spotify, Pandora, and Sirius XM and all of our other competitors that we have on the dashboard," unquote. Read more radio news at wavefarm.org. On May 6, 1937, one of radio's most famous broadcasts was recorded. The hydrogen in the German passenger airship LZ-129 Hindenburg burst into flames as the new airship attempted to land in Manchester Township, New Jersey, killing 36 people. Herbert Morrison's eyewitness report for radio station WLS in Chicago of the Hindenburg disaster was not broadcast live, but recorded for a report that was broadcast the next day and has lived through the ages. It aired on other radio stations, and the audio was dubbed onto newsreel footage and shown in movie theaters. While the scale of the sinking of the Titanic was slightly larger, this was the first major disaster with a narrator calling the play-by-play, with a visual recording synced. Few people at the time had ever witnessed or listened to 36 people die at once in a terrifying scene that rivals today's Hollywood special effects. And Morrison's radio narration was the first time listeners heard someone in real time explaining what was happening during a deadly disaster, not explaining it afterwards. Watching the Challenger space shuttle disaster or the World Trade Center fall are modern-day broadcast comparisons. While today's anchors and correspondents can keep calm in most any circumstance, Morrison's call of the accident is more human, as he clearly is overwhelmed by what he is seeing, making the, quote, "oh, the humanity," unquote, phrase ring through the years. Here is the recording of Herbert Morrison from WLS in Chicago describing the Hindenburg disaster on May 6th, 1937.
It's starting to rain again. The rain had cracked up a little bit. The back motors of the ship are just holding it just enough to keep it from bursting the flames. Get it started. It's flashing, and it's flashing. It's flashing terrible. Oh, my, get out of the way, please. It's burning, bursting into flames, and it's falling on the mooring fast, and all the folks agree that this is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. Oh, it's the flames running. Oh, 400 or 500 feet into the sky, and it's a terrific crash, ladies and gentlemen. The smoke and the flames now, and the frame is crashing to the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. Oh, the humanity and all the passengers is speeding around it. I can't even talk to people. There's friends around there. I can't talk, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly, it's just laying there a massive smoking wreckage. And everybody can't hardly breathe and talk and screaming. Lady, I'm sorry. Honestly, I can hardly breathe. I'm going to step inside while I cannot see it. Charlie, that's terrible. Listen, folks, I'm going to have to stop for a minute because I've lost the voice. This is the worst thing I've ever witnessed.
You got to try something.
I got a job at the radio station.
Oh, great, that place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
I am making a time sculpture. A sculpture made by taking this recording and looping itself over and over again, over itself, to create a form that exists as a sculpture in time. Just as I could take a piece of clay, shape it over and over again, until I have a form that's real in space. I am making a time sculpture. I am making a time sculpture by taking this recording, a sculpture made by taking this recording over and over again, and looping itself over itself. Over and I am over making again a time sculpture over itself that exists, a sculpture made to create by a form as this a sculpture that exists in time, looping itself as a sculpture just over in time. Time. I could take a piece of over clay, just as I am making a time sculpture clay. That until a sculpture made by taking the sculpture in space and looping itself just over and over again, I could take a piece of clay over itself, shape it over and over again to create a form. I am making a time sculpture as a sculpture made by taking this recording just as and looping itself a piece of over clay and over again, shape it over and over again itself until I create a form that exists real in space as a sculpture in time. Just as I could take a piece of clay, shape it over and over again, until I have a form that's real in space.
I'm Ro in Acre. You're listening to the weather on the radio and the traffic.
Hey, Live from the Waveform Study Center, we're listening now to the test site for Acoustic Commons. That's the open mic in the woods at Waveform. We're listening to Zach Poff's Pond Station. That's the open mic in the pond at Waveform. We're also listening to Quintron's Weather Warlock, which takes the changes in precipitation, the changes in sunlight, the changes in wind, and the changes in temperature and turns them into sound. And we're also listening to Quintron's Traffic Sack, monitoring the sound of the vehicles on Route 23 in Accra. But right now, we'd just like to take a step back. A little farther back. Don't bump into that couch.
Back in the-
Matthew Shipp, Khan Jamal, William Parker there with Vamp to Vibe. We are listening to the radio, and you are too. This morning, we are about to debut a new radio segment here weekly on WGXC. Producers G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer and their show, I Have Seen Niagara. G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer describe the show, quote, come stay a night with us at the motel that goes by many names here in weird and magical Niagara Falls, New York. Let us be your guide through the suicide and honeymoon capital of the world, city of light and dark wonder, with stories of the bizarre and soundscapes of creepy delectation. Enter with your eyes closed and your mind open as we send logic over the brink. It's coming in just a few minutes. And it also airs midnight Tuesday, early morning Wednesday, and then Saturdays in the 9 a.m. hour on the WGXC Morning Show. Where we are now, at 10 a.m., it's time for Turn on the News with the La Femme Fatale episode next. Abortions for all, miniature flags for others. What? But right now, we're listening to the weather. Thinking about the Supreme Court ruling and wondering about the coming civil war.
East End was once a happy town where harmony and love was busting out at all the seams and in the trees above. The doves of peace were laying eggs. There were no signs of strife, for each man loved his neighbor and sometimes his neighbor's wife. But a sudden change soon come about. Storm clouds were in the sky. Nobody stopped to kiss a body coming through the rye. For each man eyed his neighbor with malice and with hate. Housewives no longer spilled the beans across the garden gate. We had a war, a civil war. Folks often asked us what we're fighting for. Well, most of us wanted water mains and sewers and bathtubs too. But the rest of them decided they'd make the slop pails do. It was sewer pipes versus slop pails. The town was split in two. With profane propaganda, the air was often blue. The sewer and water faction ran a sanitary plank. They said shallow wells and slop pails and toilets always stank. We had a war, a civil war. Folks often asked us what we're fighting for. Well, most of us wanted water mains and sewers and bathtubs too. But the rest of them decided they'd make the slop pails do. But those slop pailers were stubborn. They fought with tooth and nail. They said our nitwit council should be languishing in jail. They told how high taxation and plumbers' union fees would throw us in the poorhouse and they'd throw away the keys. We had a war, a civil war. Folks often asked us what we're fighting for. Well, most of us wanted water mains and sewers and bathtubs too. But the rest of them decided they'd make the slop pails do. But when the vote was counted, the slop tailors met defeat. And then they started tearing up our quiet village street. Now peace and harmony once more replaced the grapes of wrath. So when next you visit East End, just stop in and have a bath. We had a war, a civil war. Folks often asked us what we're fighting for. Well, most of us wanted water mains and sewers and bathtubs too. But the rest of them decided they'd make the slop pails do.
You're listening to the radio WGXC 90.7 FM. It is now the time to debut on WGXC's airwaves the first episode of I Have Seen Niagara from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. Hold on to your hats.
I came to in a motel room, tied, standing. That is, my feet, somehow I'm on them, although I was out. I'm in now, but in what I'm not sure. A trance, perhaps. I'm wavy like that. I can't feel my body. I can't feel my eyes. Am I door? I mean, am I dead? I want to scream or even blubber, but I have nothing but helpless thoughts. All I wanted was some new cast iron pans. That's the last thing I remember. Checking the junks in an outdoor flea market and auction run by some country folk with a look of spooky secrets. And now I'm here, hostaged and cursed. The shirts that surround me, I would say, are one with the flesh. The three men in them, nebbish. Soily Wook-level fitness with Michigan bad vibrations. These are some diabolical hippies. And I don't know how, and I don't know why, but they got me. They pass around a crystal, giving it a good hard blow before moving it on, finally, into the pocket of the last man in line. Light shorts, heavy on the socks. Truly wicked. They gaze in my direction, silent, intense, as if watching smoke from a slow-motion fire projected on the side of a tent. This continues for millennia, until a fourth man enters, wearing a leather jacket, flannel shirt, corduroy pants, and a suede hat with sequins spelling out the word denim. Not too porky, but rich, he carries a birdhouse for a briefcase. From it, he pulls a mister. He tests it in the air with a poof, and cannoli sweetness powders the pissed pants motel air. For sure, he is the ringleader of this jam band of dark star schlamozzles. He approaches, addresses a figure that I can now see from the corner of my maybe dead eyes. Tell me, what are you? He asks. I am a boy. I am Elijah, is the response. He sprays the boy with the mister. What are you, Elijah? Spritz, spritz, what are you, Elijah? Someone turn those tunes up louder, man, someone requests. The mister fills up the room beyond a stink. There is something more, warm, wet, choking me in sweet piss, chocolate chips, and citrus. What a door, oh, door, odor, odor. What are you, a door, what are you, a door, what I am, a door, says the boy. With this, the men get giddy and give each other a series of backwards handshakes that evolve into a putrid jig. One man removes his shirt, holds it neatly, and then bounces his trunk in an extended sacred boogie, causing sweat to flee from his chest hair while the other men chant, ooh glyph, or gliss, gonif, can't make it out. Jeez, I just wanted some pans. The shirtless one struts to the boy, and then with one big stride, he steps his foot inside of him, through the stomach, producing the embarrassing sounds of wet pressure. He glides in further, deeper, but the foot finds no exit. He just keeps crawling in, ducking his head under the ribcage, pulling his second foot behind him, and disappearing completely into the void. The other men follow, smiling and prancing like happy dancing bears, all the way into and through an Elijah who was once a boy but is now a door. And when the last of these twisted earth people step out of the motel and into whatever hellish realm the door boy tenders entry, they close his door behind them, and this Elijah vanishes within himself. Now I am alone. I know I am next. The music keeps playing, and the crystals are still smoking in the ashtray. The next batch of boogie boys will no doubt blow in here soon, and when they do, I must not let them through me. I am a human, and I must remember who I am. I creak, I swing, I slam.
Advice me better off dead. Switchman sleeping, 102. One more track and headed for you.
Tune in next week for another episode of I Am Niagara. Did I say that right? Where am I? I have seen Niagara. I knew I was wrong. G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer there. Let's give them a big hand. And like I said, it's just about time for Turn On the News. Are you turned on yet?